Howdy, and welcome to a special episode of This Week in Texas. I'm your host, Jeremy Kitchen. Today, I'm going to stray away from the traditional format of the show and instead give you an update on primarily only the legislative priorities of the Republican Party of Texas. This is in response to several of you that have reached out to me asking me to go more in depth on these issues. As of today, the state legislature has just 11 days left before the end of the 87th legislative session. Yesterday, the House convened and State Representative Jeff Leach, a Republican from Allen, asked a series of parliamentary inquiries or questions regarding upcoming deadlines to Speaker Dade Phelan from the back microphone of the Texas House floor. In what appeared to be a series of stage theater, Leach saw himself surrounded by some House Democrats like Speaker Pro Tem Joe Moody of El Paso and State Representatives Michelle Beckley of Carrollton, Sinfronia Thompson of Houston, and House Democrat Caucus Chairman Chris Turner of Grand Prairie. All of the Democrats were seemingly backing him up on the series of his inquiries. It became clear that Leach attempted to make public he took issue with the Senate's supposed lack of urgency in referring or moving several of the criminal justice reform legislative priorities of Speaker Dade Phelan's. This exchange was notable because it seemingly set the stage for the abrupt motion made by both Leach and Speaker Pro Tem Moody at the conclusion of the day's business to recess the House until Sunday at 1 p.m. It should be noted that not a single legislator objected to that motion. Prior to all of this happening, calendars full of bills for both Friday and Saturday had already been posted. A local and consent calendar for Friday had also already been posted. This motion, made by Leach and Moody, meant that all of the bills on those calendars would be pushed for consideration ahead of a calendar that was just to be posted for Sunday. Add in the bills that were heard yesterday for the first time that would also need to be heard again for third and final reading, and that calendar on Sunday starts to get longer and longer. All of this is important because of the impending deadlines limiting further bill consideration. Saturday at midnight marked a deadline for the House committees to vote out Senate bills or Senate joint resolutions. This deadline was rendered effectively useless as there were no posted committee meetings beyond yesterday, which in turn meant that every bill still stuck in the committee process was effectively dead, and that only bills that had already been voted out and on their way to the House Calendars Committee still had life in them. Of those now newly dead bills were several priorities. All of this was the result of a childish quibble that takes place every legislative session between the House and Senate, attempting to out-politically maneuver each other in a quest to get their legislative priorities through. Notably, perhaps the biggest bill and priority to fall victim to these events is that of Senate Bill 1311 by State Senator Bob Hall, a Republican from Edgewood. This was the last remaining Hail Mary related to children and gender modification that remained from the Republican Party of Texas. The bill would have prohibited a physician from conducting gender transition surgeries or administering puberty blockers to a minor child. It would have also precluded those same physicians from receiving insurance if they performed those procedures and required the Texas Medical Board to rescind the physician's license. We've talked about this issue several times as of recent on the show. I'm not going to belabor the point. But it isn't too much of a stretch to say that Republicans in the House, under the leadership of Speaker Dade Phelan, also a Republican, effectively killed legislation seeking to protect children from genital mutilation this session. You can read more about this issue and watch our informative documentary on the subject on our website, texasscorecard.com. In the waning days of the legislative session, we find ourselves holding a mixed bag of results. Undoubtedly, Republican legislators will start attempting to message home to their constituents about what a conservative session they had. Several already are doing that. I will let you ultimately be the judge of that, but here's where those key issues stand. But first, let me set the stage. The Texas legislature is composed of 150 state representatives. 83 of them are Republicans, to include the Speaker of the House. It's comprised of 31 state senators, 18 of which are Republicans. The lieutenant governor is a Republican. The governor is a Republican. In fact, every statewide elected office has a Republican elected to it. Yet, even with a little over a week left in the legislative session, priorities of the Republican Party of Texas are still not across the finish line. Several bills were set to qualify under the umbrella term of election integrity, for instance. To date, only one bill has actually been sent to the governor and gotten through the entirety of the legislative process. The Omnibus Election Integrity Bill is still in a conference committee where both the House and Senate are currently reconciling the differences. Similarly, several bills qualified under the religious freedom priority, and undoubtedly something related to the subject will get done in the end. The question we must ask, in my opinion, is how much we actually want the legislature to further codify into statute quote-unquote protections that are already in place under both the U.S. and Texas constitutions. By doing so, do we potentially continue to allow the legislature to assume it is something that can be regulated? We already discussed the priority related to children and gender modification, but it bears repeating that the Senate acted while the House of Representatives did not. With regard to the abolition of abortion priority, the Texas Heartbeat Act, or the bill prohibiting an abortion after a fetal heartbeat is detected, did get signed by the governor this past week into law, and ultimately it'll go into effect September 1st of this year. Texas joins 13 other states with similar laws on the books. But in the end, the bill merely still justifies the killing of a baby until a heartbeat is detected. In fact, the only bills related to outright abolishing the practice and ultimately ignoring Supreme Court guidance on the issue never even got a hearing in the House or Senate. To make matters worse, both chambers have passed bills seeking to prohibit abortions, but only if and when the U.S. Supreme Court case Roe v. Wade is overturned. The priority related to constitutional carry has taken a roller coaster in the last few weeks. Ultimately, it has passed both chambers in different forms, and it's currently being reconciled in a conference committee. I expect that this bill will in fact ultimately pass. What is unknown is whether the protections offered in the House version of the bill, which were stronger, stay on in the end, or whether provisions added by the Senate continue to water it down. Regardless, similar to the priority related to religious freedom, the legislature passed several measures attempting to message home that Texas is a, quote, sanctuary state for the Second Amendment. It's true that the state constitution does allow for the regulation of how firearms are worn on our person, but again, we must ask ourselves whether we're okay with the legislature further codifying, quote unquote, protections that work in our favor today, knowing full well that if the political atmosphere changed tomorrow, they could not only be rescinded, but ultimately used as precedent to regulate the other way, further indicating that the rights we are told we have are in fact not absolute. The Republican Party of Texas also has a priority related to monument protection. The House is the only chamber thus far to pass out any bills that qualify under that priority. One of them simply ensures that the Texas Historical Commission is the only one who can give explicit permission to alter an existing historical marker, while the other started off as protections for exhibits on the Alamo Complex grounds, but after being amended, was watered down before passage to the Senate. It's unclear if the Senate will act on either of them. Regardless, it's a pretty pithy attempt by the legislature to act on this priority at all. The priority related to school choice for all was seemingly not even a whisper in the legislature at all this cycle. The House sent a resounding message when they overwhelmingly voted for the budget amendment ensuring no allocations were spent on school vouchers. The Senate heard a bill relating to education savings accounts, but after passing the Senate Education Committee last Friday, it was not placed on the Senate calendar for consideration. All of this is a far cry from just a few years ago when currently elected Republican leadership all paraded around then during a National School Choice Week wearing yellow scarves. The priority relating to a ban on taxpayer-funded lobbying was seemingly a non-starter in the House this session as well. The bill seeking to ban it on the state level was heard in the House and the House State Affairs Committee in early March, but never even voted on. The Senate version was never considered at all. The Senate did pass a ban for cities and counties, but by the time it came out of the House State Affairs Committee, it included loopholes for lawyers under the guise of expanding the jurisdictions that are affected. It will be up on the House floor on Monday, but it should be noted it's merely a ban on local jurisdictions, and even then, as written, it's riddled with loopholes. This, of course, is a far cry from what the Republican primary voters overwhelmingly, over 94%, I believe, said they wanted last year. Lastly, the late added priority by the current chairman of the Republican Party of Texas relating to executive overreach, the Senate acted quickly on both state-level and local-level reforms. The House was generally reluctant to do so. In fact, they initially proposed a bill that further codified already disputed authorities of the governor. It's unclear whether anything at all will get done on this subject by the time the legislative clock runs out. All of this is to say that though Republican legislators will almost undoubtedly attempt to communicate home that they had a, quote, conservative session, we should reflect back on just how difficult it was and should not be that it should not be that way in a Republican controlled legislature, that they can only still accomplish so very little. Those that believe in limited government and free enterprise should demand better of the folks that will come home and send them pushcards to our mailbox saying they worked hard. They didn't. In fact, to date, the House has worked for about 225 hours out of the possible 3,096 hours. They met 68 times in the midst of 129 days. The Senate, nowhere near the House, met for a little over 144 hours total out of a possible 3,096. They met 51 times in the midst of 129 days. Remember that. They had time to get these priorities done. They chose not to. That's it for today's episode. Join us again Monday for another update. As always, make sure to check out our website, texasscorecard.com, for news and commentary on a whole host of issues related to Texas politics and policy. If you want to know about specific bills I talk about on the show, make sure to check out our show notes page. And if you want up-to-the-minute updates, make sure to follow me on Twitter, @OpinionatedK. I'll see you on Monday. Take care.